The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
This is David X. Cohen, ex-executive producer of Futurama, and you are listening to The Nerdy Show.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Brandon.
Hi, I'm Colin.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And we are here at E3. The recording sounds strange because we're recording live from Matthew Spill's kitchen. This is Monday, the night of all the E3 conferences, and we've seen Microsoft, Ubisoft, EA, and Sony. And hey, let me cut to the chase, comic book fans. We got a surprise announcement just now during the Sony conference.
Unless you watched it online.
Well, it was a surprise to everybody who watched it. Brian Michael Bendis, you know, one of the biggest names in comics, one of Marvel's creative pillars, he came out and he announced a Powers live-action television series. As far as we know, it's exclusive to PlayStation. And so that's huge. I mean, Colin and I were like, oh God.
They were so excited that it's making me want to read the book.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing book. I started reading that a couple years ago, and it's collected in amazing trades, and where the story goes, it could make very, very exciting television.
Powers is the story of basically a police detective group that handles situations, crimes, usually murders, involving people with powers, supervillains, superheroes, taking care of all the stuff that's not your day-to-day crime fighting, but rather the street stuff that the bigwigs flying around in capes don't really handle. It's an incredible series. Well, if you haven't ever read it, we'll link on this episode's page to where you can pick up some collections. This is huge news, and if you listen to our E3 hype episode leading up to this, you know, we reviewed the PS4 and the X-Bone at 6 months, and we were on, you know, they seemed like they were on equal footing. They didn't have enough games. We don't know what to do. With this announcement, plus the
slew,
behemoth of a press conference that Sony had, the ball is in PlayStation's court. Colin and I are very seriously considering becoming PlayStation 4 owners. Personally speaking, this would be the first system I've owned since a PS2 of theirs. So I haven't really felt the need otherwise. So this is actually kind of a big deal. They've got the games right now.
Yeah, they most certainly do.
This year has been, so far, all about games. Microsoft, from the very first this morning, acknowledged it with a press conference that was nothing but games, because last year was all about hardware, and they really didn't have much to show about, you know, like, what these things were truly capable of. We had some numbers, we had some demos. This is it, man. This is where this new generation of systems are really going to prove themselves.
So, and Microsoft didn't really prove themselves. Well, let's go ahead and get started. I mean, here we are. So this is day zero.
So we'll start with the Xbox conference?
Yeah, let's start with Microsoft conference.
Slash rave party?
Yeah. Yeah, the rave party.
We strapped on some LED bracelets and...
As soon as we got those bracelets, like, it felt like we were getting tagged.
I think mine gave me a rash.
Well, actually, here's the thing. Here's the thing that was weird. You walk in, they give you these bracelets. They're like solid color. They don't tell you what it's for. Then you sit down.
And it says Xbox on it.
Yeah, and then a countdown started. And we're like, oh shit, so we're all wearing these explosive devices, and it was counting down to zero.
Exactly.
And we're like, well, no, they just lit up, so it was cool.
It turned out that we were just massive crowd props.
The crowd was the ultimate.
That's cool.
Prop.
I thought it was a good effect.
No, it was really cool. It was Microsoft's got money to spend.
So one thing I didn't care for was that they mentioned a new achievement system, how you can see all of the achievements, like a bar while you're playing.
Yeah, they can
snap on the screen, which I think is annoying, but they're like, this is great.
Well, that's I'm surprised you're starting with that, Brandon. I really am. Like,
that was the first thing we talked about. That's why.
Was it?
Yeah.
The first thing I wrote down was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I didn't even write a note for that because it seemed inconsequential.
No. It's not inconsequential. It's annoying because it's like, it's a bunch of people who play video games. They don't care about the game, the story, the art. They're like, I need all these achievements. And now there's links right on the screen with the achievements that you can click on it to get cheats.
To be fair,
like
achievements themselves are kind of like a very, like, they're more, like, they were around technically earlier than even story in video games. Because, like, you know, the idea of getting a high score, you know, it goes back to, you know, the very early concepts of video games.
And then stories were invented in
video
games.
This indulges a whole demographic of gamers who are not the people at this table. And I think, I mean, that's the thing. It's not good for us, and it's good for them, and it's optional.
There's just something annoying about clicking a link to see a Google video of someone else doing the achievement so you can then do it.
Yeah, but if they want to do that, no one's twisting your arm, you know?
I know, that's true. Just annoyed. And so then, the new Call of Duty game.
Yeah. You know, it started out, and I thought, well, I don't care. It looks like Call of Duty Halo. And then, gradually, it progressed into something that looked like, actually, a pretty high-end military sci-fi, the likes of which, you know, you're never going to see in film. You could only see in video games.
My problem with Call of Duty is that, well, I guess it's not a problem. I love the single player a lot. And my problem with it is that everyone, when I finally beat the game, because it's gorgeous, Call of Duty is an amazing single-player experience, and you jump into the multiplayer afterwards, and you're like, everyone's kicking your ass, like, whatever. And they're like, well, I never even played the single-player, dude. And you're like, well, so all these people go jump right into the multiplayer in Call of Duty, because it's, like, just that thing they do, and they never, ever touch the single-player, which is way better than the multiplayer. Multiplayer is just run and gun in circles. But, like, the actual game is
Twitch gameplay. As long as you started shooting first, you pretty much
and the actual single player is, like, real-time events and, like, shit falling over and, like, people dying. And it's just really cinematic. And the multiplayer doesn't have any of that. And unfortunately, a lot of people always miss out on the single player.
And then they showed...
It did look
very pretty. I'm interested to see where it goes because, like, they had, like, a swarm of... Not a nano swarm, but, like, a drone swarm.
Oh, that was awesome.
And they
some really interesting powers, like that involved the visual HUD, like where you could see where the enemies were.
Based and ripping on, car doors off.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, to protect yourself and all that kind of stuff. The environments, there was a lot of destructible environments. That was like a huge thing. At least these conferences.
And you know what's great? No one's talked about it like a buzzword.
Yeah.
We always
destructible environments.
We always log the buzzwords here at E3 because it gets really fucking annoying. But I've seen. Destructible environments is one of the things ever since Red Faction I've wanted most in video games.
And they don't
it's
really
been the longest time coming, but this year we're seeing a ton of it. Looks like the new systems can handle it, and no one's making a big deal out of it. It's just the new status quo. I can agree to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it drastically changes how the map is played. Yeah. It's excellent.
So then they showed Forza 5, which, you know, whatever. I'm not a huge fan of racing games where my cars can't get destroyed because it's annoying. But they did mention the Nürburgring, so if there's any Top Gear fans out there.
Well, I mean,
they mention that all the time. I think that's amazing.
The technology is pretty incredible. I mean,
they said they mapped the entire field
to the millimeter.
To the millimeter, which, you know, I mean, I want to go out there and measure it just to make sure. Because, like, you could just say that. Who the fuck's going to go and measure that?
All right.
Really, to the millimeter? Why'd they do that?
I actually know people who have done the landscape scanning for golf games and things like that. It's an interesting procedure.
Okay.
Maybe on a future episode we can go into the math of that if you want to go down that road.
But then that, they announced, like, another Forza game, like, right after, Horizon 2, which is open world for the first time ever. Drive off-road, dedicated servers, and I assume also no car damage still, because, you know, Lamborghini doesn't want you to see how their car falls apart if you crash into a building. Which is stupid. If I'm driving a car in an open world, I want to fucking drive off a cliff, jump out, and have it explode.
Well, that's what other game series are for.
Yeah, but it's like, if this game's like, oh, cross-country racing, it's like, if a semi hits me, you know, I need to stop and get a fucking flat tire fixed and shit, that'd be great.
Did you get the feeling that the dedicated server, like, buzz phrase is like the unfortunate, like, this is the conclusion of the Xbox One always on dying? Like, that's all they're left with is these, like, always on concept, or these dedicated servers is, like, the only way to, like, power the Xbox to, like...
Well, because these games were in development before they even switched that.
Yeah, I imagine they were meant to be a lot more and really, you know, power the game like the Xbox One was supposed to be able to, but then when they cut the always-on ideas and...
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know. That I would hope to be in a position when we hit the floor where we can actually have that real talk discussion with somebody. I'd never expect real answers from anybody that we talk to on the floor, you know. But it's you know, last year... They showed that the always-on for Xbox was going to power via the cloud gameplay the likes of which wouldn't be able to be possible on a standalone console. They removed the always-on mode, so now it's open to the discretion of the developers. And maybe, I don't know, if dedicated servers is how they're phrasing that, maybe that sounds better to them than always-on, you know? Because that freaked everybody out.
Well, no, the dedicated servers are made not by Microsoft, but by the actual company who makes the game.
Right.
So, whereas Microsoft was going to have everything constantly linked, and they got rid of that, like, every game, like, it's, if you all jump on that one game, and there's multiplayer, I assume it's going to work that way still, but I don't know.
We never heard the phrase cloud computing once today.
Yeah, that's dead.
It was weird.
Sad in some ways, in my opinion. I thought it was exciting for gaming.
The tech they showed us last year for Xbox, which is now, I suppose, like, null and void, was amazing. And while the NSA Big Brother aspect of Always On had a lot of answers that needed to be answered, or questions that needed to be answered, it bode well for the possibility of rendering crazy shit. So, well, here we are. Anyway, they showed a game called Evolve. It's by Turtle Rock, distributed by Bethesda, and it's the same, some of the guys who made Left 4 Dead. It's got this this four-player system where everybody's got a special task. It looks hyper-stylized. It looks like it's about monster hunting.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
But then the big thing is you can now play as a huge fucking Cthulhu monster.
Or whatever the monster is you're fighting.
Yeah, in theory. Yeah. But we saw this kind of like, I don't know, Cthulhu dinosaur, basically.
No.
It's Cthulhu-saur. Yeah, it doesn't seem like much is known, but does that mean all the fights are all like arena-based? That's just going to be 4-on-1 and no...
No,
like,
no, no. Well, they showed a lot of other like tiny monsters, and then there was like a boss thing.
Huh, that's interesting.
Which is,
unless I mix that up.
Which is another thing that has happened quite a bit in these games today that that hasn't really been a buzzword, fortunately. We saw this in the Fables game as well, where you could not only play as in a cooperative Fables game with a number of heroes, but also play as
the villain. Yeah.
Basically, it turns into an RTS against four on-the-ground players, where you're setting up traps and enemies and encounters and so on.
There was a Wii U game that did that, right? At launch, the zombie one...
Zombie U. You know, I never played it.
Yeah, they're the multiplayer mode where you were using the gamepad as in an RTS type mode to, you know, drop deploy zombies. And,
well, there you go. It's been done before. Moving on.
Speaking of, if you're waiting for Nintendo news, that comes tomorrow morning, so we'll be covering that in tomorrow's podcast. And, since I haven't mentioned it in this episode, stay tuned for videos as well. We'll be doing all kinds of video coverage from, you know, developer interviews, so on and so forth, all at nerdyshow.com/E3 2014.
So they showed some other stuff, which everyone has showed at this point, which is like Assassin's Creed Unity stuff, Dragon Age Inquisition stuff, but I wanted to talk more about the exclusives, because that's the point, I guess, of the Xbox conference, so like Sunset Overdrive?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Man, Sunset Overdrive, Colin...
They have a cool t-shirt.
You did get a cool t-shirt for that. Colin, you said...
I said that it was either going to be a huge mess... or a really interesting and very, very cool and evolved game. Like very different from anything that I've ever seen, but it was just...
Would you compare... What do we compare it to like been Smash a, TV?
Smash TV and Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
But it could be a huge mess.
It could be terrible.
Yeah, it could... Who knows?
It's really fun gameplay, extremely cartoony, like kind of like Tony Hawk meets a disaster scenario with like... graffiti, it's kind of like Jet Set Radio, sort of. It's different. It's a lot of old concepts put into a 3D arena, and you've done something really neat with it. I could see it really not working. If it does work, it will be incredible, and that's exclusive for Xbox.
It looks repetitive. The arena doesn't look like it's like, I feel like the humor, the dialogue that the character has is going to get like old, and I don't know, it could be a mess. It could also be fun. I really like Ratchet and Clank, and you know that it reminded me of that as well.
Yeah,
and those games were fun.
It's from those guys, and it comes out in October, so we'll find out pretty quickly how this is going to be. Mm-hmm. And you know the players are customizable, so we don't even know what kind of like how the humor is going to translate if your individual, you know, what your individual character is capable of.
Right.
We need an Xbox One to see it to see how good it is.
So let's tag back to Assassin's Creed Unity just a little bit. This might be the most we end up saying about it today rather than covering it on the floor, because, hey, everybody's going to be covering it, and our coverage is typically about looking at, like, weirder, smaller affairs at E3. It's cool. It's set during the French Revolution. The crowd scenes are incredible. You can play as four assassins at once.
I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah?
No, because, no, seriously. Because, like, every time I play an Assassin's Creed game, they're like, look at this multiplayer, and, like, they show you demos of it and trailers, and you play it, and it's like everyone's just running and killing each other constantly, and it's not as fun as they make it look. And
but you get to assassinate George Washington.
Whatever, George Washington. the supposed demo that they were playing, which they weren't playing, was way too perfect, and they were all doing things properly. But when you're playing an actual game with people you don't know, people are just going to run and just start stabbing shit, and it's never going to be perfect multiplayer. It never works in Assassin's Creed. I don't know how they're going to make an entire game based on it.
Although, I do have to say, I've never been a huge... I mean, like, I know that I'm alienating myself, but I've never been a huge fan of Assassin's Creed series. And this one has been one of the most...
story.
It's been one of the most interesting ones in terms of the parkour aspects of the game.
Well, they made it look really good.
Yeah, where you can truly be grabbing onto all sorts of different elements of the game world, as opposed to it being specific blocks and specific parts of the world. And then also you can go inside buildings and all that sort of stuff.
You can kind of do that in the other games, but it's like a scene where you run through them.
Right, but this one seemed like a little bit more fluid and a little bit more organic.
And it's the first next gen Assassin's Creed.
Right,
so that's why.
That did look very interesting.
I think maybe one of the coolest things that they showed at the Microsoft conference was the Dead Rising DLC that's available right now, actually.
You mean the Remix Hyper Turbo Alpha Plus?
Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha. Yes, I mean that.
The 31st Capcom.
Yeah, the Capcom's 31st anniversary. it's
that looks so good. I don't even care that much about Dead Rising 2 or 3, but the DLC looks so good.
You play as all the main Dead Rising protagonists. You can cosplay as a ton of Capcom characters. There's like some kind of big zombie M. Bison clawing his way out of the ground.
You get special moves.
It just looks like the most manic, fun gameplay ever, and Capcom being very self-aware, being very cool. It seems like a good time. It makes me wish that I was able to play it.
They didn't used to be this cool.
They didn't, but they are now.
Yeah. I was going to say, Cap, you were really excited to see something about Disney Fantasia. And what did they give you?
Well, I had hands-on with it last year, and they just mentioned it. Because it's going to be, I believe, demoable on the floor. So, I mean, we have a lot of meetings with people, and Disney Interactive is one of them. So I got hands-on with it last year. You guys are going to get hands-on with it this year. The game comes out later on. And Fantasia is actually, it's weirdly enough, one of the main selling points for the Xbox One for me. Because it's a fun game, because Harmonix is really cool. It's very involved, and it's totally unique to the system because it uses the Kinect in a way that, I mean, just no other piece of hardware is going to work. No other piece of hardware allows a game like Fantasia to exist. So, we'll talk more about that because you guys will have hands-on later.
How do you feel about Conker being in
Project Spark?
Project Spark, something that I have no interest in.
Yeah, man, that was shoot in. It didn't work. I think having including Project Spark seems like a really neat idea. They talked about it in previous years. Including Conker seems fun. Their deployment of him with the announcement and the trailer was just confusing, but
even the way they made Conker made him seem like he didn't even understand. He was like, I haven't had a game in 10 years, I guess this will do, and you're like, what?
Yeah, I guess I'm stuck in this, whatever. You can I guess you can use Conker as a playable character in your Project Spark demos. I don't know. That's weird. Yeah, I don't give us a new Conker game, goddammit.
Yeah, that's all I like, honestly.
We got new Killer Instinct, and there's probably just as many people who are into Conker as Killer Instinct, I would imagine. They're both.
Would you buy an Xbox One tomorrow if they like announced Conker, new Conker?
I like
game?
Conker. I don't like Conker $500.
Yeah, you like Conker Bad Fur Day 2.
That would be bait for me, but it's not. It's not going to sell a console.
If it came with a $200 coupon code,
I'd buy one then too.
Probably the biggest announcement was the Halo Master Chief Collection, where you get Halo 1 through 4, not including the spinoffs like Reach, ODST. But they're all completely remastered. They have 100+ multiplayer maps.
100 multiplayer maps, and they're all in 1080 with 60 frames a second, they said.
Yeah, so you can play all of the multiplayer maps that you have grown to love from all of Halo.
Which means you're basically only going to be playing two maps constantly. And there's going to be 98 maps.
Blood Gulch.
There's going to be 98 maps you don't touch. And they remastered Halo 2.
And by you mean the people who play Halo who you don't like.
I did play Halo a lot. It's just only one or two maps.
Yeah, well, I like playing in the living room with friends, and I guess I'm on the outs here. I guess that means I'm an old person. I don't know.
And they did say it comes with the live action movie when you get it.
Well, it's a television series. Halo Nightfall, yeah, and it which leads into 5 actually, and you get the first episode with it, or you unlock the rest for free because you bought the collection, something to that effect. And
speaking of 5, that also included in the Halo Master Chief collection is the beta for.
Yeah,
For Halo 5.
Yeah, December, I believe.
Which I have to admit, I've never been a huge fan of Halo. Like, it's really fun, but, like, 5 looked really interesting to me. Like, story-wise, it looked really interesting.
The thing that's always really I've loved about Halo was the story. When it was at its strong points, it's had highs and lows, and the fact that Keith David is back as the Arbiter,
that's
huge for me. Playing as the Arbiter was my favorite part of, like, the Halo series, so... the fact that he is clearly playing a large role in Halo 5, that's great for me. But will I have an Xbox to play it? I don't know. These things are expensive, guys.
Yeah. They also had a section where they talked about indie games for a bit, and there was one that stood out immediately.
Yeah, you know, I need to later tonight check it out. It was this thing called Cuphead. I haven't looked it up yet. I haven't had a chance today. It looks like retro cartoon animation, like 1930s Disney animation.
Like Steamboat Mickey.
Steamboat Willie.
Steamboat Willie. Steamboat Willie. What did I say?
You said Steamboat Mickey.
No, I didn't say that. I said Steamboat Willie.
They showed that looked cool. They also showed Mighty No. 9, which elicited a huge fan reaction. Hopefully, I mean, I'm a backer for it. I'm a becker. But I'm excited for the game. Hopefully it will live up to all the expectations, because clearly they're very high. Mm-hmm. No one was like, Cuphead, yeah, fuck yeah. But it was Mighty No. 9, people got serious, so.
Matt, how did you feel about Rise of the Tomb Raider?
I'm just excited there's a Tomb Raider sequel. That's what I mean, like, there's not much, like, to offer as far as... The only thing that, like, really strikes me as conversational at the end of the Xbox conference is The Division, just based off of Watch Dogs. That I don't trust anything I see.
Yeah, that's true. The Division looks really impressive. It's like this, like, CDC, New York post-apocalyptic Christmas time nightmare. stick that on the box if you want, guys. it looks like, you know, if you're gonna play a first-person shooter in, you know, with kind of, like, cyber tech stuff, like, it seems like a good option, because it's a unique story. But yeah, man, you know, the general consensus on Watch Dogs being, like, not quite what it was showcased to be at E3 makes this suspect.
Yeah, everything we see should be taken with a grain of salt, because everything's heavily scripted and heavily controlled, so you don't know what the gameplay is actually like.
Yeah, and for all we know, the only thing that is, you know, that they've had to render is the area that they're in, which is, you know, the problem that the Watch Dogs E3 trailers had is the game ended up looking like shit because the game ended up being much bigger than the small...
Right.
Thing we saw. So anything Ubisoft at this point that's like these super dramatic, like crazy engines, and they're like, oh, early in-game engines, like early in-game, because they're going to modify it when they make the maps bigger and they, you know, and more
it's actually going to look worse.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going to. It's never going to look like that. It's never going to play like that. And I'm not buying anything on Division or the new Rainbow Six game.
Right.
Until, like I will not give them any money until... product is delivered.
since you mentioned it, that new Rainbow Six game, holy shit.
Should we talk about that in the Ubisoft?
No, we'll just get into it right now. If they deliver on that, it's like destructible terrain, like really strategic, like classic Rainbow Six was. I mean,
you know, I mean, it was a little cheesy, the scripting, but other than
yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, that was one of the most intense things that I've seen in a video game. It looked like it was a. I mean, obviously,
you could pretty
it was
much
very
blow
well
the entire house,
right? But obviously, it was a very well scripted. It was a very well scripted, very well like thought out and, you know, played out, you know, game session. But it was a really interesting look into what the potential of that game could be if that ends up being what it ends up being.
Yeah, this is the same conversation we had about Watch Dogs and even The Division, seeing it last year. Like, it's just not, and from what I've heard, like, Division has been, like, reworked quite a bit because, you know, it's, like, grand ideas and
right.
Like, even the, all of them kind of have this weird co-op element to it, like Division and the Rainbow Six one. And none of their conversations sound like, were they like, should we go in through the, like,
the
Rainbow Six had this, should we go in through the roof, should we go through the back entrance, should we go through the front entrance, there's all these, like, kind of staged ways of entering the mission. Let's be honest, once the game's out for 2 weeks, they're going to know the most successful way of going in. Everyone, you know, it's going to end up being the same people. Yeah. They're going to be like, oh, you know, no one's going to actually like...
Someone's like, or there's going to be the guy who starts like, are we going through the roof? And I'm like, dude, I'm already in the building.
Yeah, it's the nature of co-op gaming, you know? There's just going to be like, come on, you know, 1v1 me, noob, and like, you know, get wrecked. And you know,
do you know what the first thing you do when you start like Battlefield, Call of Duty, or this game? The first thing I always do, I get out my RPG, I shoot at the building as much as possible, throw all of my grenades, and then I run in with my gun.
And that,
I destroy as much as I can straight off the bat.
And you're part of the problem.
I just fucking throw grenades, man.
And a lot of that goes to the idea of not split-screen gaming this stuff locally, but instead doing it, like, everyone, when you're separated, yeah, you just want to do it the best way possible. You want to try new things.
And you can't, and there's no, like, onus for, like, you know, if you're sitting in the living room playing with each other, you can't be like, what the fuck are you doing, Matt? Yeah. Stop, god damn it! Yeah. And punch him in the shoulder. Be like, no, I'm taking the controller away from you. Go on timeout.
Yeah, it's high concept stuff that both the developer won't be able to deliver on, and also the user won't utilize to what it should be.
But the dream for Rainbow Six Siege was beautiful.
The terrain damage, if that's not altered, looked amazing.
I mean, the fact that they could shoot. I mean, because basically what it was there was a hostage situation inside of a house. And there were bad guys in the house. It was 4-on-4.
It was five on five.
Well, as everyone eventually was getting killed, it was showing you how many. What it was. It was like 4-on-4-on-4. 4-on-3, yeah. 4-on-2, as everyone was getting whittled down. But it was what some of the most interesting aspect of that game was the fact that, like, you could truly use that house in any way that you could possibly think.
You're like,
of.
I need to get to the floor below me. I'm blowing a hole in the floor.
I'm blowing a hole in the roof of the level that I need to get to below.
Yeah, below
that area.
And you know what? That's actually something that I was thinking about. Conceptually, this is getting back to, like, Rainbow Six's roots as far as, like, its strategic planning instead of just being this kind of shooter that had, like, some tactical...
Right, and using a drone.
The original Rainbow Six, they would give you the map beforehand, and you would, like, draw out your squad.
I haven't played one since then.
Yeah, and you would, you know, tell them where to set breach charges, and you would give them commands when you wanted them to
and
do different
things. And everyone was, like, one hit. And, no help. Exactly. It's like,
and I noticed that about this game. That's what's going to ruin the strategic element, is this game, it's not one-hit kill.
Yeah.
If this game was one-hit kill, don't fucking run in the room and just start shooting. Think before you go in a room.
That's what made the first Rainbow Six
multiplayer
great.
One shot kill. That's what this game needs to be.
Yeah, and it's just...
I bet there'll be a mode where you have it's like a golden gun mode.
But no one's gonna play that. They never do. You add modes like that, and everyone's just playing.
And like
the
single
one.
Player for Rainbow Six is great too, because if you went into a mission and, like, for instance, like you did it, and a character got shot and killed in that mission, you at the end of the mission you had the option, if you succeeded, to do the mission over again or to proceed with that character and their traits gone from your team because they were dead.
Yeah.
So like it needs that. I don't. It needs.
There's
to
a finality to it.
Maybe we'll be in a position to discuss this with the developer. I would like to hope so, because, like, you know, I don't. Like I said, I always feel like most of the time we're getting bullshit answers from them, but these are very, very real questions.
Yeah, and
you know?
while we were watching the demo, they had the guy like, run, I'll cover you, and like you saw the guy covering, taking shots. It's like there's nothing like
that'll never
there's,
happen.
There's no. You know, there's no risk involved. Just stand there and shoot and maybe go into cover.
Right.
It's like, no, if it was one or two shot kill like the original Rainbow Six,
I would be falling on the ground all the time.
I think the concept of the co-op element they want would be able to succeed. But people don't want to get into a lobby, like log into a game, die because they did something stupid, and then have to wait it out. So they'll let people take multiple bullets.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I was so scared of dying in the original multiplayer because
I was bad.
I would do is I'd find like a corner of a wall. I would duck. And I would just sit there, and I'd wait to hear footsteps. And I'd be like, God, I hope they're not coming the direction they can see me. And if someone runs by, I just start shooting them, and then they just turn around and kill me.
I remember the original Rainbow Six, so they had the heartbeat sensor, and you just get it out, and then you do this 360, and you'd see the other multiplayer characters that are logged in with you just do this random 360. just make sure there's nobody around you in a 360. Because
everyone's so scared of me.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Xbox 360.
I think we're missing that terror in online.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, like, that was a really interesting trailer, and we'll see what ends up coming of that, because that looked amazing.
To tag back something real quick, Brandon mentioned Rise of the Tomb Raider as the new Tomb Raider title. Apparently, that's not the title. I found it online. It's actually Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris.
Why did they call it? It's set on the screen.
I know. I wrote it down, but I don't know. I saw this as well online today, and I can't really figure it out. But
I don't know what the actual name is.
So that's a thing that could happen.
Interesting. Microsoft, can we just close out the Microsoft conference?
Time for EA.
Well, no, I'm just saying there's one more thing. They had Crackdown 3.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Crackdown 3.
I have no relationship with this. Tell me why I should care.
Crackdown, the first one, I hadn't played the second one because I heard it was horrible.
It didn't even say 3, it just said Crackdown.
Yeah, it was just called Crackdown.
But the first game was really super fun. It was just like, it was kind of what Saints Row 4 ended up being.
Mm-hmm.
That was what Crackdown was. It was just an incredible powers game where you just went out and you just had a ton of fun blowing stuff up, building up your skills, and just taking down these really over the top villains and these gangs of people by blowing up buildings and doing these really ridiculous kills with your vehicles and your guns and explosives.
Well,
it was great.
We didn't see any actual gameplay footage.
Sure.
But I'm assuming it's more of that.
It's still pretty cool that they're bringing back Crackdown with the original creator. So, you know.
Moving on to EA, what a weird conference. It seemed like most of the time they were just spending it trying to humanize EA.
Yeah.
Which has got a reputation as being, you know...
Oh, yeah, we were hanging out instead of making games. We went to forests and drank mojitos and shit.
Most of their packages were developer diaries and, in fact, didn't show any gameplay at all.
Star Wars Battlefront.
But man, Matt, this is a little State of the Empire moment here. We got really fucking excited. Also, might I say that it's very cool to do a State of the Empire moment with you and I in the same room. It's usually over the phone.
State of the Empire is what,
Cap? State of the Empire, Colin, of course. It's our Star Wars speculation podcast where we look for news in Alderaan places.
Oh, Jesus, fuck.
If you haven't ever listened to it, you've never heard that, Brandon?
No, I have. It's just every time. It gets me every goddamn time.
With Willow Watch, that's my important... I listen just for that moment for Willow Watch.
Anyway
we'll link to where you can check that out if you haven't listened to our show. It's fun. We have a really good time. So DICE has actually been going on some kind of, like, whirlwind vacation. They went to Skywalker Ranch and actually scanned original props from the original trilogy, and they went to locations.
It's like
the desolate Arctic wastes.
It's like they started working on the game.
I don't know. What was the filming location for Hoth? I know. I feel like I should know this.
I
wonder if they went far. They're in Sweden
Denmark?
To begin with. Is it? Yeah, they may not have had to gone far. They might have just gone outside the DICE studios, and they may have been in Hoth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that may have been the case.
But one thing's for sure, the detail in what they showed us for Battlefront in the Hoth sequences, incredible.
Yeah, and they also had a speeder bike chase, like pre-alpha, like concept footage. That looked really awesome. God knows if we'd ever be able to actually maneuver that sort of thing.
If it was actually like that, there's no way we could maneuver through trees. I'd be crashing every second.
Yeah. But it looked awesome.
It looked incredibly accurate.
Yeah. Next year, they're just going to announce the game was canceled. Anyway.
See, but that once again, it works. It does. All they told us was that they're working on the game.
And
so
they gave us a date. Well, they gave us a real
time.
They said
Seymour.
Spring 2015. Seymour.
Which sounds like holiday 2015 to me.
Seymour butts.
Yeah. So they rendered us some good-looking speeder bikes through the forest. There may not be a level where it's that difficult to go through the trees. They may be open levels because it is so difficult to fly speeder bikes. There's nothing, they showed us nothing about how the game will actually play. They showed us the models that they've been scanning.
But they showed us like images of them hanging out and like playing drum circles and shit.
That was the same thing, and then they moved on to BioWare, which was
we got rid of all of our cubicles.
Which was essentially
same
thing. Although they did tease that they were doing they were doing something else in the Mass Effect universe.
That's
which is
it.
Awesome.
They literally said nothing
but
else.
That's all they said. And I do agree with what you and Dice were talking about, was that they were humanizing EA. Like they were trying to tell EA, they were trying to say, hey, EA's not as bad as you think.
we're really we you know we're taking care of these developers and we love them and then what you happened? Love them so let's why don't you love us yeah. too
and then right after that The Sims 4 came out
which looks cool smarter Sims weirder stories
actually the title because they kept saying
I think that's the tagline but no yeah. I mean if you like Sims it looks better than ever so yep. I mean, I don't know what more we can really say about it
watch dude bros who know how to read books get upset at old women who like cats.
And then they die of laughter.
Yeah. That was really good.
Battlefield Hardline? Should we talk about that?
Oh, Jesus.
That was the highlight of the EA conference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cops versus criminals.
Yeah, they kept saying cops versus criminals, which I kind of took issue with. Okay, back up, guys. This is a game about one of the classic 20th century children's games. This is a game of
Cowboys
cops
and Indians.
Versus robbers. I know they're criminals, they're not just robbing banks, but this is cops and robbers, but everybody took care to say cops versus criminals because they didn't want to sound too childish.
Someone
I'm
did
sorry,
say
friends.
Cops and robbers.
Yeah, yeah, Andy, I believe it was, at the Sony conference, he slipped up, but you know what, Andy, I think that was very truthful. I think you really cut to the heart
of
the
matter. Why do they call it cops? Why don't they call it law enforcement versus criminals?
You're right, because cops...
Law enforcement officers versus criminals. Anyway,
versus the mentally
but the most
inhibited.
Important part is this game looks awesome.
But let me ask you, okay, so we saw them taking some loot in the beginning of the demo, and then 6 minutes later, the amount of destruction in Los Angeles, how much loot were they taking that was
like,
worth it?
It's like $1,000.
Well, they robbed an armored car.
Well,
they gotta get that money back.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, this is, like, at some point, LAPD just needs to be like, guys, this isn't worth it to catch them.
Here. Literally, it says loot. It's like, you have a sack of loot. And there's, like, zip lines and helicopters and missiles.
And a
like...
crane crashes into a skyscraper and you crawl through the skyscraper. Oh, my God. I mean, it looks incredible, but I don't like. I was asking the guys, is there a story? Is there an objective? Like, what's this game about?
Battlefield never really has a well. The single player had a story, but it was kind of lame. But the multiplayer's always been where it's at.
Yeah, because this is just
and there's no story in multiplayer.
It's like it's urban warfare. It is straight up urban warfare between these two factions and blowing up an overpass.
You know what was funny? Before they showed us anything, they said it's like a TV. It's like a TV crime genre. Is how
no,
they compared
it. Isn't.
No, it's like Bad Boys on speed, you assholes.
It would be like Michael Bay doing Bad Boys.
They should have had Bay come out and like intro the game. I mean, at least it would have given some excitement to that conference, other than like the development.
Do you guys
like
booms?
You know, some sort of like.
And big loud kabangs with shiny ting tings. This game has all the shinies.
Actually, they should have done some like Bad Boys Incorporation. Like you could get like the Martin Lawrence skin.
They should have had Will Smith. Like, oh, they should have just had Will Smith and Martin Lawrence come out. They're not
cool.
doing anything
and
right
and
now.
And Michael Bay could grapple into the. either way, I mean, like fuck that dude for executive producing this upcoming, you know, Ninja Turtles film, but hey, Bad Boys set a precedent for ridiculous action.
Yeah.
And I think we can all salute him for that.
Yes.
And this game is definitely an offspring of that.
I mean, that was some incredible stuff. I mean, the fact that this giant crane fell into a skyscraper that
it was
they
like
could
ripping
then,
the side off of the building
that you
as it
could
was
then climb into the crane and go into the building. It wasn't just destruction and then there was rubble that you couldn't get past. There was an interactivity to that crane destruction.
But to be
that
fair,
they
every,
then went up in into the skyscraper.
Every Battlefield, well, recent, at least Battlefield 4, they have maps like that.
Yeah,
but,
and,
like,
and they refer to it as a levolution. There's always a way, like midway, beginning, end of the match, to trigger some sort of change in the map that is specific to, like, and for that one, it's the crane, obviously.
Well, I do remember that when, and on the previous one, you could bring down an entire skyscraper depending
I still
on
haven't
how
been
many
able to
bu-
do that.
How many bullets happened, but it seemed like they took it, and they took it from that very, very large scale, where if we destroy this giant, giant thing, it'll change the level, but now we're going to make a little bit of smaller things that are easier to make happen, so it's going to be even more exciting, because they're going to happen more often.
Yeah, I'd rather have lots of little things happening rather than one big thing.
Right.
Because the big thing rarely happens.
Right, exactly.
And the little things are happening constantly.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, no, it was insane. And the beta is...
It launched today. Hopefully we'll get in. If you guys got in, let us know what you think.
For
we're really
PC,
curious.
It's hard. I don't know what the deal is. They said if you have a PS4 and you own Battlefield 4 and you go to the little info button on it, you can just play it, the beta. You can download it.
Yep.
So do that if you have a PS4.
As with last year, they teased the new Mirror's Edge again.
Yeah,
so that was grand. But here's one of the weirder things. Criterion Games showcased the development for a game which they did not title, which looks to be the evolution of Nintendo's Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah. They just showed lots of vehicles. That was it. Like, we love helicopters and ATVs.
What's funny was that the concept gameplay of it looked exactly like it was Pilot Wings.
Like a next-gen, not cartoony, head-mounted GoPro Pilot Wings.
Yeah.
It was pretty great.
Take an ATV, drive it off a cliff,
onto a helicopter, yeah. Jump the fuck out, who cares?
and that's awesome. Like, that seems like a really fun style of game.
Get in a space shuttle, go to the moon. That didn't happen.
And since Nintendo basically murdered Pilot Wings with their 3DS game, I for one embrace this new master.
I will say it is very telling that the EA conference had two unnamed IPs, like BioWare drops that they're doing a new game that's just like, we wanted to do something more modern or more contemporary, and then didn't name anything, showed like a hint of an environment, and then this game, which they didn't even bother to name, they're just like, there's vehicles, all kinds of fun vehicles, but there's vehicles.
Wait, what if that's like, the name of the game? There's vehicles.
There's vehicles, yeah.
Like, there will be vehicles.
Yeah, it was EA's conference.
What
was
a weird. Yeah,
and,
real
and,
weird.
And that's it, guys. I mean, that was really, that
well,
was
no,
it.
No. There were a few interesting things. They obviously, EA always demos, you know, new sports engines and lots of sports games, and they put that shit out every year. Whatever, I'm not a big fan of sports. I know some
it's,
of you
it's usually technically impressive at the very least.
But how about that golf game with the Battlefield Fantasy?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
There was a guy, it's like, there's like, this looks like this normal golf game, you know, really good graphics. It's like, you're a rich douchebag hitting a ball into a hole, and then it's like, also, we have fantasy maps. He's hitting it over the battleship from Battlefield 4 that crashed on the island, and there's gunfire everywhere, and you're just hitting the ball over it.
He's still got a hole in one.
Yeah, I still got a hole in one.
I'm curious. I'm curious what these fantasy. I'm trying to think of other EA games like that. A Mass Effect map. Like, there could be, I don't know. Like,
I wish that map, oh, like, man. The Battlefield map, like, suddenly you were in someone's multiplayer game, and you're just trying to get the hole in one, and, like, people are just trying to shoot at you, and you're like, I gotta get this. Or they just can't interact, but you're playing
golf. Man, you're fucking playing on the Citadel, and, like, it goes up in the air, and Garrus shoots it out of the sky. If you let him.
But another sports thing they showed, which actually kind of pissed me off, was the whole Bruce Lee thing. Were like, oh, introducing to UFC, someone who would never probably be in UFC, Bruce Lee. And they showed a fight, and it was agonizing. They made Bruce Lee really slow and do stupid moves that he would never do. And it's like, he's like, punch, kick. No.
Yeah.
It really pissed me off.
Yeah. And then of course, they've got the FIFAs and the Maddens and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And the
NHLs.
It's cool to see the kind of technology.
They look pretty.
That technology usually ends up making its way into other games. So it's neat to see it that way.
Yeah.
But, like, this year, it didn't. None of that seemed to really
be the case. The thing that's wrong with sports games for me is because you don't get levels and experience points. And
you get achievements, bro.
No. I think for the first time ever, they should have, like, FIFA open world MMO. Like, kick a soccer ball anywhere, or football. It's like leave the stadium, kick on the side of someone's house for an hour, go down the street, you know?
Yeah.
Have a quest.
Tired of the celebrity life, go have a football match with the lads down at the pub.
Show up at some kid's birthday party unannounced. Go to a hospital with a sick kid, show them how to bounce the ball in her head. Random FIFA quests. It would be like, do something for the
FIFA
world.
Quest.
Getting robbed, kick a football at him, shatter his ribs.
It's like, that's your attack weapon. Headbutt.
The goalies are like throwing babies up.
Bicycle kick. I don't know why they have to
participate in riots for your favorite team.
Oh, man.
Woo! Are you Ubisoft?
Ubisoft.
Aisha Tyler, kicking ass as always.
She pronounced it Ubisoft. Is it Ubisoft?
I don't give a shit.
Oh, whatever. Anyway. Aisha Tyler's great.
They were so loose with the language and, like, references.
They started
like,
off.
What was up with the... I mean, they were clearly after some sort of, like...
Okay, Sony stole the show. Ubisoft was the coolest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened
Sorry.
Was they played...
No,
they
I was
played,
saying, this is like, it's my first year... The first year that I haven't been upset about missing the Ubisoft conference.
I told you guys. You guys were all like, it's Ubisoft. Like, maybe it's going to be the best one. It was really good.
Ubisoft has been some of the dullest, most pointless conferences ever. And this year, it was entertainment, like nonstop entertainment.
They opened with Far Cry 4. The opening was amazing. There was a lot of cursing, a lot of violence. And then, like, Aisha Taylor comes out, and she's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, you know this is going to be a good conference.
She was, like, 420 up in this bitch.
Yeah, she actually said that. Yeah, like, it was so good. And she's like, I'm not very good at dancing. I'm like, some of my other people. Or, like, I was like, whoa.
Like the rest of people.
Like the rest of my people were just like, Jesus, fuck. It was so good.
She's the voice of Lana from Archer, in case you were wondering who she is if you didn't recognize her name. Obviously, she's an awesome personality.
Yeah,
she's really funny.
Cool.
So yeah, Far Cry 4, set in a fictional version of Tibet, looks kind of awesome.
It looks very awesome.
More than a little awesome, perhaps?
I'm hoping it's different than the first two Far Cries, which bored me.
I hope
it's more like, what, Blood Dragon?
It looked very compellative. You know, compelling and interactive.
Compellative. Oh, man.
If that actually became a buzzword, I'd be okay with it, because it's hilarious.
Yeah.
They showed the crew a bizarre, allegedly coast-to-coast portrayal of America as a car MMO.
They said go anywhere in the United States and you can drive, like, to L.A., and it says it takes a couple hours.
Still
like,
don't know what to make of that thing. Not sure if I'm interested or not, but
it
looks really cool.
Yeah. If you're into driving and hanging out with your friends while you're driving, I mean,
that
like,
actually, they made me very interested in that game. There's like 1,000 people servers, and it's like you can drive.
No, everywhere. And it was, and they were saying no load time. It was just like you were just constantly, you could just constantly.
And they
drive.
Said like a race, like you could go to LA and like it would literally take 2 hours to drive.
Yeah.
There.
A
which
race.
Obviously it's scaled down, but it's like Jesus fuck.
It's cruising. It's cruising USA. I think I might have said that last year. That's kind of what they were selling. Where is that IP? What did anybody do with that? What? Cruising World, cruising Exotica. Where's the shit at?
They also showed more of the same. Tom Clancy's The Division. They showed a trailer. They showed a more Assassin's Creed Unity.
Shape Up though.
Shape Up.
Fitness for gamers. They made this very gamified fitness thing with push ups.
We gotta check that. We're gonna check.
Guess who's
out.
Still gonna do it though? Not me.
You're gonna do it.
You're totally.
You're
gonna
do it.
I'll
Brandon.
Do it at E3. I just meant it. I don't know if I'd ever buy it.
Oh yeah.
Fitness game.
I don't know.
That looked pretty
you're
cool
very,
though.
You're very naturally fit.
Yeah. I'm not.
Well, we gotta. I mean, they're touting it as fitness for gamers, and I think that means that we have to see if we're gonna call it bullshit on it or if it's actually gonna be something of substance.
However, Ubisoft is one of the only developers that really truly handles the Kinect in a really interesting way, and the fitness game Your Shape Fitness Evolved.
Yeah, that was a Gen 1 Kinect game.
Was an incredible game.
It seemed to work really well. He was actually demoing it live, and I didn't see any hiccups.
And this particular one, Shape Up, they had some kind of bizarre avatar technology where if that was live, like they pulled very convincing avatars, stylized avatars of the person, and not bullshit Microsoft avatars. I mean, something that actually looked like you.
Yeah, it was like it would if Cap was playing, he would play against himself, like the previous Cap who did it.
Would play against yesterday's Cap.
Yeah,
that was actually
freaky because he did that. And he's like, oh, I beat him.
Yeah.
I want to see this in action on the floor. I really hope we get to.
Really interesting and stylized. Honestly, crazy environment.
I just want the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It had some good music. It had a remix of Eye of the Tiger, right?
I'm sure it's like a lot of Blood Brothers stuff up in that.
Okay,
like,
so oh, man, I love the Blood Brothers so hard. Okay, so then they brought it down with a brand new game. I don't think we've talked about Child of Light on the show at all.
I absolutely love Child of Light. I'm on my third playthrough. It is fucking fantastic.
It's an Ubisoft, like, gorgeous, like, hand-painted RPG. Really, really cool.
It's a side scroller. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't beaten it yet. Maybe you might be able to describe it a bit better than I would in the long run. But it's a cool RPG. It's a cool, gorgeous RPG. It's available on everything. I'm playing on the Wii U and really loving it. So they showed another game from that studio using the Child of Light engine. It's called Valiant Hearts: The Great War.
And at first off, you're like, well, it's gonna be, it's just a video game, but it's like, no, it's World War One. There's like a dog running around talking about like the people he's been with dying.
But it's also mass graves. But it's the dog's experience with all sorts of different people and
different
demographics,
like,
and on different sides of the war.
It's Warhorse.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I was just about to say that.
Which is fine because Warhorse ended up being a big letdown. Maybe this is what a better version
the
of
movie,
Wars.
The movie was
whatever.
Okay, it was quite depressing.
Go to the theater and watch your War Horse.
It's a sobering cartoon portrayal of one of the most grisly wars in world history.
Yes.
I don't know how it's actually a game. I didn't see, like, it looked more like an experience. I'm not really sure.
Well, we'll find out pretty soon. It actually comes out June 25th.
Oh, I'm getting it.
Yeah, why not?
Because I love Child of Light, so I might as well.
Apparently it was based on the letters, some letters that came from World War One. Like, they were basing it off of letters
The characters in the story, I think, are based off of actual, like, documents. Yeah. Obviously, some of it's probably fiction.
Sure.
But it's based like on the dog actual who, people.
You know, thinks.
No, that was the one thing that's legit, for real. That was an experimental dog made by the Nazis before there were Nazis. Time traveling back in time to World War One.
This seems highly probable.
You do know, you've played a Wolfenstein game. They do this shit.
Oh, man.
This will lead into Wolfenstein in World War
II. Dang, girl. All right, Sony. Man.
The dog is Hitler.
Mind blown. Okay. Sony, like, had a two-hour presentation, and like we said earlier, fucking blew everybody out of the water. Like, Microsoft had no game by comparison to them. I didn't see it coming.
So yeah. What they say, there was a new white PS4 that comes with Destiny?
Yeah.
Destiny bundle?
Bundled, yeah. Yep. Bundled with Destiny is the new white PS4.
The Destiny beta starts the 17th. If you guys don't know Destiny is a new game from Bungie.
Yeah.
And it's...
The folks who made Halo.
Yeah, and it promises to be... It looks like some kind of, like, Halo, Mass Effect, Uber, Fusion MMO, Star Child, baby.
That actually is the description.
You know what's interesting about these announcing these special colored systems that are bundles? Like, I think a white PS4 sounds awesome.
It looks like a stormtrooper.
Does it? It kind of makes me like I'm in the market for a PS4. I kind of want to wait for.
And they've never had a white.
Like, I'm actually debating. Like, it sounds like, you know, something like, what? Just give me a white PS4 so I can buy your console.
Yeah.
But now it's making me hold off possibly until September. I'm actually thinking, like, what games will I miss till then? Maybe I won't miss much. Maybe I don't need to buy one until September.
Well, I mean, granted, a lot of the things that they were talking about aren't going to be coming out until a little bit down the pipe.
Yeah. So, but I'm just saying that like, I was possibly gonna buy one next week. I'm probably going to wait until September.
Congratulations, Sony. You made people wait till September to get the fucking bundle.
DLC for Infamous Second Son. It's called First Light. It's a standalone deal. It's starring a character named Fetch. And I haven't played Second Son, so I don't know who that is.
I really want to play Second Son. Tony's played it. He says it's really, really good.
Yes, nerdy shows.
But I don't know what that means when you say really, really good. You know, I want to know more, but I'm going to play it at some point when I have time.
Little Big Planet 3?
I'm the only one here who's played Little Big Planet, right?
Well,
you've seen
a lot
of it.
I've played it.
Like, 1 and 2 are great. 3 has a lot more depth of field.
And more characters, more sacks.
Oh my god, there's a bird named Swoops.
I think the most important thing is that, like, I guess they, instead of expanding what Sackboy could do... They instead made 3 characters to accompany Sackboy in multiplayer adventures that actually create new kinds of puzzles you can have. There's Oddsock, Toggle, and Swoop,
I just want to be Swoop. He was just picking up people. The great thing was they were playing a demo, and we found out what happens when you don't have a scripted demo.
Well, I remember what happens from the good old days when you don't have a scripted demo, but at least it's respectful demo.
Yeah, it is respectful. And by the way, Swoops offers I'm excited because it offers even better ways to troll other players.
Because you can just pick them up,
fly them to the other side of the map, drop them, and just make them do it again.
Yeah, because that was the point when you played online. I loved grabbing people, trying to drag them.
Yeah, dragging them, slapping them. Oh, that was always the best part.
God, you're going to be a bitch in multiplayer. But the creative potential looks great, and I hope it is.
And it's coming in November. So.
Oh, and they said you could play every single Little Big Planet 1 and 2 map that's ever been created by people on the third one, and they're going to have revamped graphics.
Yeah, over 8 million maps have been created.
And the PS4 version readapts all those original maps into high-definition graphics for the system, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Did they mention if you can use new characters on them, or is it just...
I don't see why not.
I think they might break the levels. Game. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, oh, I made this stage because I know you can't fly. Now you get a bird. You know?
Just curious. But
it'll encourage remastering of classic levels, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. It's stimulate the community.
One of the
weird things that happened actually was that they announced a new IP. I think it was a new IP. It's called Bloodborne. It's from Software, a software company called Software. And they showed a trailer that looked really cool, but it was all... FMV stuff. It's coming in 2015. It's some kind of gothic horror deal.
Software usually makes stuff that I'm interested in that are really fun. So I'm hoping it's good, but they didn't really show or talk that much about it. But we'll have to keep an eye on it, because I'm sure it will be good.
There was a trailer they showed of a dude jogging after being bitten by a zombie, and everything kind of falling apart behind him as he jogs so along in earbud obliviousness.
He looks like such a douchebag.
And I leaned over to Colin and I said, you know what's funny about this? This is the exact opposite of that horrifying, dramatic, and tear-jerking Dead Island trailer from when they announced the game.
And what was the game?
It was Dead Island 2!
It was so, like, they were like, you know, fuck it, we're gonna do the opposite approach. It was so good.
It was funny because I feel like they sold a lot more copies of the game than they probably should have based on that first Dead Island trailer. Because as I understand, the game wasn't well received.
It was nothing like what everyone thought it was.
Yeah, and it's interesting that now they're gonna take the opposite approach, you know, and see where that goes.
So it's gonna be a really sad game.
Yeah.
So you get this funny opening and you're gonna play it. It's like, my family's dead. I have a gun with one bullet, real time event. Do I pull the trigger or not? I pulled the trigger, the bullet doesn't even work.
Oh, hey, speaking of depressing trailers, man, we backing up to The Division, an incredible trailer that we'll link to. Man, it's not gameplay, it's not anything, it just sort of sets the mood for the landscape that you play in and like the calamity that's happened with the sickness and everything. Incredible. Like, as far as film goes.
Oh, the trailer where they showed, like, let's show, like, what happened. It's real a little bit.
It's like stop motion, kind of.
I don't even know.
Well, it was
it was like time.
It was a time lapse.
Fast forward,
yeah, extremely time lapse.
You couldn't see the people, but you could see the events unfold.
Exactly. So you saw, like, things moving and, like, you know, the comforters were moving. It's obviously people were you know, sleeping in the bed or, like, then, like, more and more pills were starting to accumulate on the nightstand.
Broken mirrors and then
broken mirrors and then, like, you end up seeing, like you hear, and you hear what's happening. Like, you hear, like, little snippets of these people's lives. And you see, like, on the news, like, this horrible pandemic that's sweeping across the nation. And then, at the very end of this, you have this man, like, you hear him cocking a gun. And then a blood splatters happens on the window. And it's just, like, it's an incredibly, really visceral experience of a trailer that I've never seen in a video game or a movie before. It was such an amazing...
Which means
tell
the game,
a story.
There's no way the game is going to live
when
up
we talk
that.
About these successful game trailers, it makes me think maybe these guys should be devoting themselves to short films or movies or television series rather than games that are eventually going to break or underwhelm. Because clearly the Dead Island people, they know what they're doing. They know how to make a great trailer. Maybe they should be making video games. We'll see how this one pans out.
Seriously, maybe they should make a fucking movie.
Hey, unless I'm mistaken, I feel like this is the first Tom Clancy game that is a new Tom Clancy series since the actual Tom Clancy's death.
Yeah.
I wonder if he had anything to do with this at all. Like, at some point, the Tom Clancy IP has been very valuable to Ubisoft. Like, really valuable.
Extremely.
Like... Is this something I'm curious what the history is with that. If like
we're talking about the Siege,
it started. No. With the
Division is also a Tom Clancy game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like
two Tom Clancy games.
Everyone keeps on calling it the Division, and everybody calls Rainbow Six, but the Tom Clancy name's attached to both. Like, I wonder, like, at some point it seems Rainbow Six was a book series, and he did Ghost Recon books and all these other things, and N-War and all those other series. I wonder, like, at some point, like. Are they just attaching the label Tom Clancy to sell games? I'm not sure. You know, I'm curious what his impact, if any, was on this game.
It's based on a note in the margin of a manuscript.
Pandemic that comes out on Black Friday. Oh, there it is, The Division.
I mean, really, it could legitimately be that.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever. Whatever.
What else did we see?
Man, what else did we see?
They showed a few things that I didn't really understand, like Magicka 2.
Yeah, funny trailer. Not really sure about the game.
Yeah, the game
Double Fine is remastering Grim Fandango. That's pretty huge.
That is amazing, and I'm going to get it.
It's a Tim Schafer game. I've never played it personally. I know many people who love it, and I've always wanted a chance to play it, so... this bodes very well.
Jonna is going to absolutely... It's like one of Jonna's favorites.
I approximate that Jonna has already lost her shit.
If she's even seen it yet, but yeah.
If she's awake, since we're in the Pacific time zone, yeah. But if she has...
She's probably asleep by now if we're in Pacific time.
Maybe she lost her shit in her sleep.
Maybe she took a shit after she heard it. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was involuntary. Suda 51. PlayStation exclusive. These are the guys who did No More Heroes.
Oh, Let It Die?
Let It Die. Cool trailer. Don't know anything about it, but it looks like it's all about equipping yourself with the most lethal crap you can find.
And beating people till their life points are at zero and then, you know, killing them. And that's basically what we saw, and it was really good and funny. But other than that, yeah, I don't know much about it.
Devolver's got some deal with PlayStation where all their games, they distribute all their indie games, are going to come out there first.
Oh, and they all look good. Broforce.
Broforce, Not a Hero, and the thing I'm personally most excited about, Hotline Miami 2, Wrong Number.
Titan Souls 2, which looked really good.
Yeah, that looked cool too. Giant Squid, half of the Journey development team, is creating a gorgeous looking game. Don't know really what it's about, but except swimming through
the
ocean.
It's in the water, and it's called Abzu. And they explained what that meant at the beginning, but I wasn't paying attention. So it was like the AB, and it said what it meant, and then the ZU, and then they combined it. And I was like, wait, what did they say?
I mean, in your defense, it didn't seem relevant at the time.
No, it didn't.
I didn't write it down either.
Yeah, so.
and man, No Man's Sky. Now, I'd seen stuff about this game.
Holy shit.
This is easily a showstopper of the entire day, aside from Powers. And this immediately followed Powers. I'd seen it around. It's almost incomprehensible what this game claims to be capable of.
Well, so I guess we'll describe a little bit of what we saw. Is basically, there's just a man walking, you know, over a planet, and he's, like, looking at different species, and it's saying, like, new species found, like a deer, gazelle, whatever. And then he sees, like, weird, crazy dinosaurs, and it scans it. And he's looking around, and there's, like, giant monsters and rhinos or something charging through the forest and knocking over trees. And he just gets in a ship that's parked on the ground, flies out of the atmosphere. There's, like, a fucking blockade of ships that beams in. He flies through them. He's like, he has a team that joins him. He starts shooting things. Then he just flies to another planet and starts doing shit on that planet.
And you're on what looks to be a full-scale planet. You get in a ship. You leave the atmosphere. You fly around in space where there's stuff to blow up, and you go to a nearby planet.
There was no loading screens. There was no... It was seamless.
And apparently, it promises millions of worlds, endless exploration.
The creator says, like, everyone starts on their own planet, and that they said literally it's infinite, which I don't like to throw that word around. Well, I do. But everything, I don't know if it's kind of like Minecraft infinite, where it's just everything is constantly
generated.
Well,
it's procedural, yeah.
Yeah, so you're always finding new things to discover. You can just fly for hours and do whatever you want.
But this developer from Hello Games, the way he was speaking, you could tell that this game was built on nothing but his passion for science fiction.
It's a small independent company, and they made something this amazing. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's really. I really hope we get hands on with it. It's one of my must sees now.
Yeah, and they weren't. And Sony also talked about, they weren't just talking about software, they also talked about some hardware.
Yeah.
In their,
the Morpheus?
So the Morpheus, you want to explain what the Morpheus is?
Morpheus Neo, no, not really. It's just a fucking headset that goes with the camera. I don't know much about it, we'll have some hands-on.
It's Sony's VR headset. It's their marketplace combatant to the Oculus.
It's their answer to the Virtual Boy. Is everything going to be blue?
Yes. Cool. Yeah. Blue and white.
I want to try the Eve Valkyrie game if, you know, there isn't a million people in line, which
for
I...
The Morpheus,
well,
yeah.
I want to experience it. We're going to do our damnedest to get some hands-on with this. There's an opportunity.
Yeah.
They have three games. Jurassic Encounter, Eve Valkyrie, and Street Luge. Which I kind of want to do.
Is that the one where you have the microphone thing in your nose, and you're like, oh, and then they're like, oh, that doesn't go in your nose.
Oh, I believe that's the Woozy helmet from Toys.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that they also talked about was the PlayStation TV, which is a really interesting answer to the Apple TV or the Roku. It's basically going to have all the different systems and programs that you could use for the Apple TV. I'm assuming Netflix and HBO Go and all that, Hulu and all that typical stuff. But that is the coolest thing, is that you could hook that up to any TV. And you can play if you hook it up to your wireless, you can then play your PS4 on a different television.
So you're like, oh man, I'm getting out of this room and going to my room.
I believe Steam just did that too. I think that's probably a next...
Steambox?
Well, not Steambox, but Steam has a streaming thing that just went out of, like, I think from alpha to beta or beta to full, and so it's like, that seems to be a direction that gaming is going toward.
Well, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, that I don't have to play the PS4 just in my living room. I can play it in my upstairs, my bedroom if I wanted to.
I like using the Vita to play the PS4 while I'm pooping. I'm like, oh god, I've got to go poop. Well, I'll just use it on my Vita.
Yeah.
I'll continue.
And it'll also be connected to PlayStation Now.
Oh, they announced that. The beta's coming July 31st. Basically, it's a streaming service where you can play, like, PS1, PS2 games, PS3 games on it.
Yeah.
Whatever. And it's streaming, so I don't... I hope it works.
It's pretty cool.
I don't know.
We'll see.
And, of course, Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
Which looks, I mean, great. And they finally showed some gameplay, which was actually my biggest gripe of the cinematic trailer that was released 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago?
Recently.
Yeah, recently. And it was, it didn't tell us anything. And I think it was Kotaku did an article that it's everything wrong with trailers because now, like, they show us nothing about gameplay. And this was the complete opposite. They showed us new characters, insect-inspired characters. There's like
Master Blaster
inspired characters, and then
wasn't actually Master Blaster, but looked like it.
The classic Scorpion Sub Zero fight that we needed to see in, you know, and the environments look. It's a different type of interactive.
Well, Scorpion jumped on a tree and swung around a branch. Yeah,
typically interactive environments has always meant like, you know, punching you through to another stage or you know, just some sort of, like,
movement.
Like,
maybe there's one interactive, like, an environmental or something
and,
like that that changes.
And this was, like, actually peeling off pieces of the background. I mean, there was actually, you know, cutting off
grabbed,
a branch.
He grabbed
a
branch,
ripped the branch off. I mean, this is, like, I think...
And there was, like, a swell of water, and the Master Blaster dude pulled a dead body from it and flung it at the insect lady.
Eleven Sub-Zero made, like, the frozen clone and then picked him up and tossed him. That was great.
And this is probably a bold proclamation, but it looks more brutal. Like, those X-ray moves and the little hints of the...
Well, they did that in one of their previous games. They're just like, evolving that system.
Well, they just looked even worse. And the fatality demonstration at the end, there were some pretty fucking gruesome fatalities. Like,
it was great.
It shocks me that this series can still... shock people, but they're doing it.
Do you think you're gonna have nudalities in this one?
No, I don't think they'll
or babealities or friend. They might have a friendality or an animality. For
you
fun.
Mean a friendship?
Yeah, friendship, friendship.
Actually, you know what's funny is they had a female character, and I don't remember this new insect female character looking overly sexualized. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
She was wearing a cloak, to be fair.
Not particularly. I mean, maybe she like kind of had some like. You know, some thigh.
Well, I mean, the previous game, I mean, like, the Melina in the previous game, I don't... Was she wearing clothes? Like, I mean, like...
I like, what's that female version of Goro?
Oh, she...
Oh, Kintaro.
Yeah.
Yeah, with them boobs and forearms.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, like, I've never been big in Mortal Kombat, but I've always thought the world looked cool, the characters looked cool, and then it was really, when they drifted away from that, like, and it got kind of lame, it was pretty obvious to an outsider even. This looks like it's, like, if I saw this, like, back in the arcade, I mean, never mind the graphics, but back in the arcade when I was a kid, if I saw these worlds, these characters... It would be awesome. It seems like it's really, truly in the spirit of what made Mortal Kombat so exciting to begin with.
But once again, we won't know till we actually play it, because who knows how the actual gameplay is.
Yeah. Let's see. There's not much left. They showed off Uncharted 4. It's called A Thief's End.
It looks depressing.
They didn't show gameplay.
They didn't really.
They did say that one last time.
Yeah.
They did say one last time.
There was
time.
A certain finality to it, but who the fuck knows?
Well, they did... Sony's on this whole kick of making original content, like movies and TV series now. And you already talked about Powers.
Yeah.
But then they're releasing a Ratchet and Clank movie.
That's true.
Which...
Well, it could shape up to be the best video game, like, spin-off film ever made, because it's actually done by the people who make the games, and it's an appropriate translation of the world. And then, of course, fucking Batman. Holy shit!
Hashtag battle mode.
We see Gotham in all its glory. I mean, it looks like... a child of the Burton Batman films, this Gotham. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's the matured 2000s version of the Burton Batman.
Which is good, because, like, Burton can't even do Burton anymore.
Well, yeah, because you start out in the Batcave, and then as soon as you leave the Batcave, you start going out in the Gotham, and you fly out into this huge... huge city.
Oh, and the car was, like, following him.
Yeah, and then you get into the Batmobile that then turns into a fucking tank. That can,
you just, like, run over staircases.
That can turn its wheels in parallel park easily.
turned into the tank from Halo, those hover tanks.
Yeah, well, then he just shoots out of the tank and then just flies around fighting Penguin. I mean, like, it was amazing.
Was he really fighting Penguin?
Well, and then, because then, it looked
we
like...
We thought that shit was going down, and like, Sony fucked up their shit.
The Sony stream had been a bit spotty, so it seemed like things were broken. The lights were clearly glitching out, actually, in the room. Turns out, it was all just a Scarecrow hallucination. Well fucking played, dude.
Scarecrow looked awesome. That was my favorite part of the other Batman games, was Scarecrow, so I'm so excited that he's, like,
Scarecrow's
the main
back.
Dude in this
one. And I know we can argue long form versus short form as far as the way Arkham's presented versus, like, the Nolan movies, but, like, I still think the Arkham...
Gotham.
Well, I'm saying the Arkham series is the current best representation of Batman outside of any sort of comic form.
Well, besides that weird Joker thing in the first one.
Well, they didn't know how to do a final boss battle with Joker. They didn't. Yeah. And that's it. You know, it's a shame because, you know, for a physical-based game, it was hard for them to figure out a way to have the loud, you know, in any video game.
Right.
You know, look what happened with Mass Effect. You know, like...
They could have at least put the Joker in, like, a robot suit. You're like, I'm piloting a robot. Like, not, you know, a giant clown robot. You know, not just make him, like, I'm on steroids. Yeah. Fuck your mother.
Yeah, Mass Effect had terrible final boss battles. Like, particularly Mass Effect 2, after great games. And then Mass Effect 3, they're like, we won't give you a final boss battle. It'll all be mental. And people hated it. So...
You just ruined it for me. I didn't play that one yet. Anyway.
Well,
you're late to the party, pal.
Yeah, maybe put a spoiler warning at some point. intercut, you can do like Mass Effect spoilers ahead.
Speaking of late to the party, then The Last of Us is coming out for PS4, which I'm going to buy, even though I already own it for PS3, because it's remastered, comes downloadable content, and it looks fucking amazing.
And The Last Guardian was nowhere to be seen.
Yep, but it's not canceled.
GTA 5 on
PS4 whatever.
Too.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
This is a huge day of conferences. Nintendo in the morning. We're gonna hit the floor. We're gonna see some cool stuff tomorrow. We got meetings with Disney Interactive, Konami, Telltale Games, and maybe even gonna spend some time with Devolver and see what they've got hiding out at Hooters across the street.
We're hanging out with Devolver at Hooters.
What are they hiding at Hooters across the street? What's hiding in those pouches? In those pads?
Glands.
What's hiding up there? What's hiding up there?
In all them
Hooters.
Anyway, if you want us to check out something in particular at E3, if there's something you'd like us to have a look at, get some hands-on insights or something, let us know. Comment on this episode's page or discuss it in the forums.
Hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter.
Yeah, our social stuff. Do those things. We'll link to all of them on this episode's page. Or you're smart, you can figure it out. we're covering all this stuff. You're going to see our stuff on nerdyshow.com and bleedingcool.com, like videos and more podcasts every day of the show. Before we go, though, Nerdy Show is listener supported, and this month we have a very exciting thingamabob that we are doing. We're doing a Dungeons and Doritos support drive. Dungeons and Doritos is our tabletop role-playing podcast, and this month you get to create a campaign for our adventurers to go on. We've only done this a couple of times in the past. We've just recorded our previous request, which involves some gender swapping and body swapping. And we have exactly one campaign in the running so far this month. We'll see what happens. We've got a minimum goal we have to meet every month. $300 covers all of our network costs for the entire Nerdy Show network. And beyond that, we've got some cool stretch goals that unlock awesome stuff, most of which has to do with D&D. Got to give shout-outs to the people who contributed thus so far. The very generous, very wonderful Barry I. And William Dick, who said, Bits, Rhymes, and Life, Episode 2, Mega Random Encounter. You're doing it right. Keep it up. It's the only thing I'd hope for. Thanks.
I agree. That is an incredible show.
Bits, Rhymes, and Life is a show from Mega Ran, nerdcore rapper, and Kay Murdoch is producer. And this most recent episode is about how the two of them joined forces. It's a cool slice of life nerd drama, and man, it's really gorgeous, like a really well produced audio podcast. Now we produce good podcasts here, but these guys are take it to another level. This is these guys are artists and really cool slice of life nerd stuff. So thanks to Barry I and William Dick, and then Kausa Baloo stepped up to the plate with a campaign that he calls Dungeons and Doritos Resurrection, where he wants the Dungeons and Doritos crew to team up with the crew from Ghostbusters Resurrection.
Oh my god.
This is actually the first you're hearing of it, Colin.
Oh my god.
House has accepted that this is a tall order. So he says, you know, whatever Ghostbusters are available, however it works. He said, picture, if you will, the world of Doritodonia. In this world, there's a haunted castle, or maybe a mansion. Perhaps even a literal ghost town. Whatever the case, stuff be seriously haunted in a most literal fashion. The D&D crew, or at least part of it, because let's be honest, the entire cast, both of these shows is combined, is probably too large in size.
Thank you.
Anyways, weird stuff starts to happen. Through a hole in time and space, possibly in a DeLorean, possibly in a white hearse, the Ghostbusters have arrived.
God.
How exactly is up to the Game Master, but they have no idea where they are or how they got there.
Barty and LaForge.
Right?
That's just not going to work well.
So I suggested that
for anyone involved.
Doug and I have been talking about how like we still need to hear from Rule, our Dungeons & Doritos game master, but the gameplay of this will be tricky because of how overpowered a proton pack would be in a medieval fantasy setting. And the possibility of adapting this in a way that perhaps the Ghostbusters are still play their characters from the show but are in fact exorcists from Doritodonia. How exactly this is going to play out, I leave to Doug and Rule to ultimately decide.
What if their proton packs don't work because they run out of juice?
I don't know. Well, that would
be able to charge them.
That would be up for us to decide. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
Magical world, science doesn't exist, so their proton packs don't work.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what comes of that, and I'm excited to see if there's any other ideas that come up from you guys that are submitted. I think that would be super fun. I would love to play with them.
I mean, they always manage to come up with things that we could never have
ever
even
thought about.
And for some reason, this seems so like such an easy idea. It never crossed my mind.
Of a crossover,
yeah.
We need a slash pick.
Well, the crossover is a sign of like when you've really made it.
Yeah,
you know, like it's a
mashup.
You know, it's the inevitable. You know, inevitably happens when you have spinoffs.
Oh God, we have to use Ghostbuster music and D&D score.
Play them at the same time.
Well, I mean, I'm curious to see our original score master Ryan McQuinn actually, you know, create some D&D music inspired by Elmer Bernstein's score to Ghostbusters.
That's true. That would be interesting.
Anyway, so that's what's happening so far. If you have a campaign for Dungeons & Doritos, we want to hear it. Hey, maybe even especially if you're not familiar with the show and you want to throw something crazy our way, we're all for it. Subject us to your wildest whims, and we're excited to go on the adventures of your choosing.
Yeah, we have some really cool stretch goals.
Yes, yes we do. So, the first stretch goal at $600. It's a script to page breakdown of early scenes from issue 2 of our forthcoming Dungeons & Doritos comic. Issue 1's been out for a couple years. We're about to release issue 2, and then the remaining issues of the miniseries will follow shortly. Tony and I are hard at work, and so this would be a breakdown script to page showing you how we put it all together. $800? That's 15 minutes of State of the Empire outtakes.
That'd be great.
Yeah, unheard stuff from actually 3 episodes worth of outtakes that are all compiled. At $1,000, a digital copy of our 8-page preview of issue 2 of the D&D comic. That's only available as it's a convention exclusive, basically Ashcan currently, but this is a preview. And then at $1,200, this is the big one. We'll record an out of continuity what if episode of D&D. With a plot chosen by the community in a poll.
Can I be in it?
Jeez, I don't know.
I'll be in like a one shot out of continuity.
So the what if?
I've been wanting you to be in D&D for years.
Yeah, I'm lazy.
Yeah, so the what if would essentially be where we would come up with the
what if Brandon Gerson was in D&D?
Yeah, and then you guys
as himself.
Right, and then we would, and then you guys would vote on whatever we were.
That would take all the pressure off me having to like act or come up with shit. I'd just be myself. It'd be great.
This suggestion comes from fan Jerry Appel, who wrote to me and said, "I was just re-listening to some of the old D&D episodes when I had a very crazy thought. We recorded an episode of D&D that ended up being written out of continuity." And it's available as a support perk. Donate any amount, you get the entire episode. And he said, comics do what-if volumes all the time to tease the reader's brains. Could the D&D crew do a what-if one-shot? Like, what if the A-team killed the B-team completely? You know, think in our finale to book 2, there's all kinds of possibilities. So if we make it to the stretch goal of $1,200, we'll start brainstorming those possibilities and release a poll where you guys will ultimately decide which alternate reality you would like us to record.
I'll release my poll.
Jeez.
For $1,200, I'll release my poll. Whenever, wherever. In whatever.
Wow. We also want to give a shout-out to Garrier, who we met in
person
at an awesome restaurant.
He's a handsome man. I didn't think he was going to be, but he's a handsome man.
Wearing a dapper hat. He brought us Doritos in person that we're going to be eating during the show in a future recording. And we had a great time hanging out with him in, I guess, what is it, Matt? Little Tokyo? Is that what you call it here?
Yeah, Little Tokyo, Japantown. I've heard it referred to as both.
It was crazy. Figurine stores, wig shops. It's like
cosplay everywhere all the time.
Yeah, it's like a 24/7 convention.
Yeah, there was some good cosplay, like legit Asian people dressing up, not just white people.
And there was like a karaoke. Like happening,
yeah.
Like just in the middle of a square.
So good. That's every day though. That's like normal.
Yeah,
shit.
it was super strange and super awesome, and awesome to meet Gary Ure. So I guess that's it for this recording. Check out Brandon's video series, Beta Test. He just reviewed the game Concursion, which came out on Steam recently. It's awesome. He teaches you a neat new drinking game. You should totally try it out.
Please watch it. Thanks.
And we'll talk to you soon. Well, tomorrow, daily podcasts, videos at nerdyshow.com and bleedingcool.com. Thanks for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Bye, I'm Colin.
Bye, I'm Matt.
Hey, you! Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. We mean that. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.